You can. It doesn't take a highly developed sense of psychic power to smell bullshit.
Really?
Eat my pagan ass, bitches.
Eat it!
Now!
I just gotta stick this rod in the hole over here.
Ouch!
Bend over.
We're just having fun, people.
Eat it!
Now!
Hey, everybody!
Hey!
It's us. It's your favorite pagan witches.
Carmen and Lucky, in Carmen case you forgot.
That's right. So, it's April 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
What?
We've been doing this for a whole year.
Oh, happy anniversary,
Happy
honey.
Anniversary! Give me some tongue. I can't believe it's been a whole year.
A whole year.
That's great. Well, you know, hey.
And we're still going strong.
We're just getting stronger.
That's
Smelling.
It.
No, I'm kidding. Kidding. I went for the cheese on that one. This has been a lot of fun, hasn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of fun. We've made some new friends. That's yep. like the most important thing.
Yeah.
We have found that this is a really excellent way just to like talk your shit out and... You know, just think about questions you might not normally think with people asking us things. Or,
right.
I really like that. And then who knew? Who knew you were so fucking funny, Carmen?
I never knew.
I didn't know.
I knew I was funny looking. I didn't know about funny.
Well, you're not funny looking.
Oh, thank you. I was waiting, you know.
Yeah, no. You're gorgeous. You're gorgeous, honey.
Gorgeous.
How's that glamour spell working?
No, but it's great. I love this, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What have you learned in the last year? As a result of this podcast,
I learned I'm so funny.
We didn't really learn anything,
kind of,
did we?
Kind of,
this isn't about learning.
It kind of is. It's reinforced things that, or made me think about things that I never thought before. I sound like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
I think of things I never thought before.
And then that's it. Boop. And think some more. No, but seriously, folks. Yeah, you know, and after the podcast is over, I kind of go over what we've talked about. And a lot of times things come up spontaneously, so I don't have an answer or, you know, debate.
Yeah.
And I'll look it up and I say, oh, yeah. So I'm kind of learning.
Yeah, well, like last night I said something to somebody that Aquarius was ruled by Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, that's not true, though, is it?
The ancient, yeah.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there is some association between Aquarius and Saturn, but, like, it's this is just a perfect example of what you were just talking about, how, like, you'll say something, and then be, like, later, you'll be like, oh.
Right. Oh. Well, it's the ancient dignitaries.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's part of the reason why anybody who's listening to this should remember that we're not experts, and we don't claim to be, and we say things... wrong sometimes, but this is a learning process for us too.
And we don't have a script. We're just talking.
Right. We don't sit up, so, you know, we don't plan what we're going to say in advance.
No.
So.
We're too busy having sex. And then we do the okay. No, but we don't plan this out. We just get together.
No, yeah.
So a lot of times something might be a little askew or said wrong, but that's why you're here, the listeners, so they can email us and correct us.
That's right. But
give us food for thought.
But from now on, all of you listening, you're all in the inner circle. Anybody who listens to this after, if you tell them about us, we're never going to say that we're wrong again.
That's right.
Okay? Only those of you who are loyal fans will know that we may say things and not be right. But if you tell anybody about this show, tell them that we are
100% accurate.
We are never wrong.
Never, ever. We know everything.
We know everything.
Everything.
And tell them that Carmen has Huge tits.
And, big boobies.
And a fine ass.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. It's bootylicious.
So no, but what did I learn during this whole thing? Well, I learned about podcasting, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
That mm-hmm. was the biggest thing, remember? I was inspired by Wanda Wisdom. We mentioned her in the first podcast, and Madge Weinstein from, shit, oh my
God, how
it's been a while.
We forget?
Well, yeah, I know.
Now that we're big time.
Bloated lesbian, something like that.
Bloated lesbian.
We're going to meet all those people this Friday. Carmen and I are going to,
isn't it cool?
There's a PodCamp New York City conference happening on Saturday. And Carmen and I are going to like one of the social gatherings that evening.
I love it. We might get our pictures taken.
You never know.
I better get my hair did. What do you think? I can't go looking like this.
No. You should at least put your wig on. You want people to know you're bald, dude.
Oh, I didn't realize, you know, this could be a big thing.
It could be. I'm kind of hoping it's not, in a way. Isn't that weird? Maybe?
Oh, stop lying, you.
If I really hope this was a big thing, I would be putting so much more effort into this. Are you saying that I should?
No, don't. We shouldn't even brought it up.
Because everyone seems to like what we do,
just
right?
Just enjoy it. Just go with the flow. Yeah, don't push it.
Because you know me. You know how I'll get.
That's why I said you. I know you. I know. No, seriously. Let's just enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know, I think it'll be fun. We get to meet all these people. Like, see what Wanda really looks like. And
I bet she's fierce. I fell in love with her, actually. Over the internet, because I thought she was so funny, and I was like, mm-hmm. if I ever meet her, I'm gonna just like propose to her on the spot. Of course, when she was, she called me up that night and interviewed me on her show. It wasn't an interview; it was just like a chat thing.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me, "Am I gonna get lucky when I'm in New York City?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She goes, "No, you know what I mean. Am I gonna get lucky with a capital L, meaning me?" And I was like, beat, no. So then I had to tell her that I have a boyfriend. Lucky has a boyfriend. That's new.
Oh, boy. He's happy now.
That's why I'm happy. Last podcast.
Lucky's not happy unless he's getting laid.
I was a bitch. It's true. Everybody knows that. If you just read my live journal.
Good grief.
Holy moly.
If he's not getting laid, he's miserable. He could have the same problems, the same issues, the same whatever.
Money
but if he's
get
laid, he's a happy man. I'm a happy man.
Well, thank the goddess for simple pleasures.
Exactly. Yeah, well, at least you know what makes you happy.
Yep.
That's all, right?
What makes you happy.
Oh, my God. So compare him today to the last podcast.
Last episode, I know.
Oh, my God.
I'm much more up right now. I've also been getting sleep, and I also was able to work through some of the issues that I had going on last time. So, you know, that just goes to show you folks, no matter how bad a day you're having, just see it through, and you'll get through it.
I know this sounds corny, but it's just a temporary delay. It's like you're driving along in your car. I know I've used this example before. And you run into traffic, and you're like, fuck, I'll never get there, god damn it, and you're mad, blah. And then, all right, you're moving on, all of a sudden the traffic starts flowing again. It's the same thing with life, you know?
Yep, it really is.
You run into your little snags.
And you never know, like, that traffic, not accident, listen to me, I'm so fucking morbid.
Well,
the traffic jam could be, like, if it weren't for that traffic jam, then when you got to your next stoplight, and you were waiting there, and then you notice the really hot guy walking across the crosswalk who stops and gives you his phone number.
See?
You never know what's going to come your way.
No, well, not the same thing happened to me. But the other day, I was going into Queens, and I wanted to go over the 59th Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually take a specific route to get there. But I didn't want to go that way. I wanted to go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of on automatic. And I went my regular way, the way that I didn't want to go.
Mm.
And I'm like, damn, it didn't matter. I'm on the bridge. Luckily, I looked over, and the lane that I should have been on, it was a jam.
Oh, see? There
and
you go.
And then I passed, and it was a stalled car. Can you imagine getting stalled on a one-way lane on a bridge?
Yeah.
So, see?
That would definitely suck.
So even though I had that minor delay... Yep. I got to Queens.
Yeah, see, whenever I notice that I'm, like, walking along and my feet You know, we do that all the time. You know, we move without...
We're
our thoughts
automatic.
Go elsewhere.
We're on automatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Parts of us are on automatic, mm-hmm. and other parts of us are thinking about other things, you know? And then suddenly you'll, like, come back to awareness and realize, oh, I didn't really intend to come here.
Right.
That's the perfect opportunity. Kind of like when that happens, except, like, when I need to be somewhere, you know? Usually it doesn't right. happen when I need to be somewhere. But if I'm just kind of like... Yeah, when I just... I choose to open myself up and I don't, like, absolutely... have rigid control over where my feet go all the time because
right.
I don't need it. I know where I'm getting. It doesn't really matter how I get there, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens me up to, you know, new opportunities and new situations, and I like that. And I think that's yeah. a good philosophy for life in general, not just, like, getting from point A to point B physically, but just, like, whenever you have a goal in life, you know that you're going to get there.
You're,
be confident that you're going to
get there.
And then just let your feet carry you.
You know, whenever there's a snag... Just remember, it's a snag. I'll get over this. It'll next week, the week. You're not going to stay there indefinitely.
Right.
You know, and if things aren't going your way, so you go to a movie, you do something different.
You
to
and
distract
your movies. You love
that's
movies,
a,
don't
that's
you?
A good distraction.
You do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's one of your favorite movies? What would be a
good
movie?
Like Water for Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
See, I know it. I never saw it, but I rented it and then didn't even see it.
You'll probably hate it because
I have it.
I like things that people like, but I love that movie. It has a little bit of everything in it.
Does it make you cry? Can it?
Think.
If you're like,
I think it could. Because
I like that.
Because I was like bummed out at some parts and I was mad and you run through a gamut of emotions.
Oh,
it's a really
good
movie. Yeah. Or you know what else makes me cry?
What?
This is really stupid. Heidi. Shirley Temple, that freaking grandfather, Heidi. Oh my God, that scene kills me each time. I mean.
Do you have Heidi on DVD?
Actually, I do. Not on DVD.
No.
No, but
we need to make an Eat My Pagan Ass wish list on Amazon.com. That'd be fierce.
Oh yeah, right.
Hook us up, bitches. No, I'm kidding. Your comments are all that we need. We got
hey,
a lot of comments actually.
What about Fluffy's letter,
Fluffy's
email,
yes.
his story, whatever.
Well, why don't you tell people about it?
Oh, man, I'm all, like, excited about it. I didn't read it until an hour ago, whatever.
Her jeans are still wet. It was so good.
It was excellent. He did that in 3 hours. Fluffy,
hour
I'm impressed.
She's in love, actually.
Yes. Oh my God! I wish I could write like that.
She printed it out and started wiping her coochie with it.
No, I wouldn't blaspheme it like that.
What are you saying?
What?
You're saying the vagina isn't sacred? You're a witch. Come on. Anything you put down there is blessed. Okay.
Just stop. He's trying to stuff it off.
Hey, no, anything but I put up my ass is blessed.
Well, I don't think it would be Fluffy's tone. That thing was good, man.
It was good.
It was excellent. We're going to put it on our LJ.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys could read it. It's really, really good.
Yep.
Excellent.
So thanks, Fluffy, for that.
Yes.
We also got, well, since we're talking about listener emails.
Fluffy, I'm in love.
Fluffy. You've been in love with him since day one. I'm in love with some listeners now.
Who?
Well, they're my coven mates.
Uh-oh.
Well, we're not really a coven.
It's out the bag.
We're not really in love, but I love them like brothers.
Well, you should.
I do.
I mean, if you're going to do circle together and stuff.
Circle
you
know. Jerk, right. No kidding.
Are you fucking 12?
Sometimes I feel like I am.
I think we all have an emotional cutoff date anyway.
Yeah.
So you might be 12. I don't know.
No.
Mine is around 12, 13.
I think I'm my age. I'll accept that.
What?
As above, so below. If I were not, if I were anything other than 32, would I be a 32-year-old?
What?
I would be manifesting as a 12-year-old if I were 12. As above, so below. As within, so
no,
without.
No, I'm saying emotionally. Like, we have no. some, like...
She's like, Lucky, get real.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking shit over here. This
get
is what you're talking
new
to.
New age bullshit. We got an email from Super Chungus.
Pajongos.
Who's one of my mates.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and thank you for the card. I got an e-card for my birthday.
Is that the only one you got?
Yeah.
From all of our listeners out there?
I got some from friends, but from our listeners.
But I'm saying from our listeners. Yeah. You people need to step up. eatmypaganass@gmail.com.
No, just eat my pagan ass. Nobody sent me a card. I'm fucked up. I was waiting. My finger was wearing out from hitting that go button and nothing. Nada. I said, shit.
She's like, refresh, refresh, refresh.
Not a goddamn thing. Not a peep.
You ever have those days where you're just sitting at your computer and you're hitting the refresh button waiting for the next email to come in?
And nothing's happening.
Those are sad days. Those are sad days.
Really.
But it was a sweet e-card.
Yeah, that was very nice. I was totally surprised. Thank you.
He sent you a... from
TimeRift.net. Mm-hmm.
They do really cool kind of pagan-themed comics.
Yeah, and if you go into the archives, so it wasn't just one e-card. I got a whole bunch because, you know, you go into the archives, you read the rest of them.
Wow. No, he's a really cool dude. I had a really good time. I had the opportunity to hang out with him last night and with some of my other coven brothers. And I keep saying coven. We're not really a coven yet, but that's like... That's like when you're dating someone exclusively, almost, but like you haven't had the conversation that you're boyfriends yet.
Why
but
do
you kind of are.
Everything to dating. Oh man, I'm getting a.
It's all about relationships.
Sheesh.
It's all about relationships, right?
Me with movies and you with dating. Yeah. I don't know. Right?
Hey, this is true. I'm a lover, not a fighter, but I will fight if I have to. Mm. But you know what? You're right. We should watch a movie next time instead of talking about who I'm dating. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Let's watch the Water for Chocolate
Heidi.
Together.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you'll like it.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will. But no, I had the opportunity to hang out with them last night, and it was just so nice. Just so nice to
it's
have
nice
fellowship
being with people
with,
that you relate yeah. to, that you get along with. It's wonderful.
It's I forget really. How important that is.
It's very important.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that is important. Seriously.
Really? But then,
No. You need people that you love. And I don't mean on a romantic level. People that you really appreciate and like being with.
Yeah.
That's very important.
That's true.
You know.
Well, okay, I'll see you later, Carmen. I've got some other people to hang out with.
I've got some real people to hang out with. Ciao for now. So Chungus, is it really super?
Super Chungus. It's Super Hungus. Super Hungus. He's Super Hung. So there you go, boys and girls.
I see.
We also got something from the Mahu Jedi.
Mahu Jedi.
Who says?
Actually, it's Mahu Jedi.
Hey guys, just wanted to say thank you for having a pagan podcast that is actually worth listening to.
Ooh, that's
very sweet.
My ass.
Yeah, I don't listen to other pagan podcasts, so I don't know, but I've heard some good things about other podcasts like Dio Shadow and Storm and Sorsha, who are no longer podcasting.
Actually, I listen to them, but I don't listen to anything consistently.
Okay. You don't even listen to ours consistently.
And maybe it's because... No, because I hate listening to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. I don't really listen to
He says, or she, even though I mainly practice Buddhism, I started out with Wicca after being agnostic for a few years and remain pagan at heart. Yay! Just finished listening to episode 7, so I have some catching up to do. Namaste. Oh boy, aren't you in for a ride? Enlightenment is a practice, not a prize.
This is true.
So
welcome, Mahu Jedi.
Mahu Jedi.
Mahu Jedi.
Oh, do you want to read from Not Jane Bond? Another listener?
Shaken, not stirred.
This is the good one you like. You should talk. You should read this one. Can you read it? You should put your glass eye in.
Shut up, bitch.
Bitch.
What does it say?
Hold on. Bring the microphone down.
Fantastic show, guys.
Thank you.
Especially love the tarot and rune talk. Mm-hmm. Please give us more. You both have such fantastic insight to the card and symbol meanings, and one of these days I'd love to get a reading from Carmen.
$5.99 per hour.
It would probably be a life-changing experience.
Do you think so? Is that true? Has anyone ever said that? Thank you?
Yeah, they said clients? Thank you. For a reading.
It. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
good.
And I have been, for people that are open,
yeah.
I have been able to help and, I don't want to say change their life, but change their situation.
Yeah, good.
Because a lot of people just want to stay where they are, you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
Reading is hard for people because they don't want to hear the truth.
Truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
What else does she say?
An interesting note about the devil card. In the Russian tarot of St. Petersburg deck.
Dick.
The devil is painted look just like Joseph Stalin.
Товарищ, здравствуйте.
I don't know what I do on my deck.
Как тебя зовут? Меня зовут Joseph Stalin.
Yeah.
Я тебе люблю вас. Надай. Да.
Нет.
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 Dun, dun, dun. This makes me think of Tetris.
Borscht.
Dun, dun, dun,
borscht.
Dun, dun.
Someone would think about food. Borscht.
Borscht. Borscht. Boris.
Borscht.
Natasha.
Boris and Natasha.
That's what we
I
should
love
do.
Them. All right. They're great.
Yeah. We'll do an Eat My Pagan
and
Ass
for
episode.
Something you really like.
Completely in the style of Rocky and Bullwinkle. All
be
right.
Great.
Episode number 18. Check it.
Really?
No,
but I love Boris and Natasha. I love those two.
Yeah.
They were. It was during the Cold War,
uh-huh.
And the Russians were bad people, you know. And so Boris and Natasha were a reflection of the times.
Oh right.
Okay.
He's
also covered with symbols such as tattoos to represent the criminal nature of his power. Mm. Bat wings to symbolize extent. A red star to symbolize his victories, and two eyes on his chest. That are the vigilance of the secret police.
That's
wow.
Pretty fierce.
Right?
Yeah. Ooh,
according to the booklet. In addition, the two people chained to him have been deprived of their civil rights. It's pretty obvious that the artist had a rather strong interpretation of the devil as being evil rather than the more nuanced interpretation that you guys talked about. Very interesting stuff, Jane. Very interesting, yeah. It depends on who is doing the deck,
mm-hmm.
because their beliefs, like the Rider-Waite deck is more Christian, Judeo, mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian based,
right.
And this one is obviously more
political based.
Political, Russian.
I wonder what the other
communist
other cards look like. We'll have to look that up. That'd be very interesting.
Do you want to hang on? I'll try to find.
You have it?
I have it.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, well, you do that.
It was a gift given to me. Remember Michael?
Yes.
He gave it to me. He had a Russian boyfriend, and everything for him was Russian, Russian, Russian.
All right.
So he bought me this deck.
That's cool.
Yeah, and he only wanted me to read for him with that deck. I'm like, please.
We should use that when we do tonight's tarot card reading. Although you like to do that with the Rider-Waite, don't you?
Yeah, because I like to use something I'm familiar with.
Okay. But a lot of you who ever practice tarot...
mnemonic thing?
Mnemonics, yeah.
Yeah, when you look at the...
You've heard of this exercise where you make your own tarot deck, right?
Yeah. Actually, I have one. Oh, it's right here. But they say that the card that you make, the deck that you make for yourself, people shouldn't see it. It should be just you. So that it only has your essence and it's imbibed with your stuff and nobody else should look at it.
Oh.
And I drew it and I colored it and I took real care.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Do you use that for just
here.
Readings that you do on yourself?
Then yeah,
I guess, right?
For meditation. Here.
Excuse me. Oh, cool. The Russian Tarot of St. Petersburg.
Look what else I found.
Oh, an Alice in Wonderland. That is fierce.
Oh, look at these.
Oh, there he is. Oh, my God. He was right on top.
He's on top. He's a top.
The devil. He does
the
look
devil's
like
a top.
Joseph Stalin. That's really cool. Look at that tattoo on his arm.
It's kind of hot, if you ask me.
Kind of hot, yeah. Except for the eyeballs, his titties. What is
What's
that noise?
What's with their tits? That's me laughing.
Oh.
That noise.
This is a beautiful deck, too.
The colors are nice, yeah. It is a nice deck.
Except it's all black. Everything's black, 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 black.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's a mode.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't...
That's a mode.
You can't
like
read
one.
It. You can't see it. The back is exactly the same,
yeah,
so there's
right.
no way of...
You don't get enough...
Yeah.
You waste the canvas, basically, you know?
But the pictures themselves are beautiful.
They're artfully. It's like a novelty. You wouldn't actually use it.
I have
a. It looks like you haven't.
I have an Olympus and have Shakespearean. The Shakespeare deck is really nice.
Well, you know, you can get lost in like a bookstore's tarot section.
Oh, forget it.
There's so many different kinds of tarot decks. How do you find the best one? You know, I guess you just have to go either with what resonates with you, right?
Yeah. Like the Shakespeare deck, I thought that each suit would be a different story. Like I thought that maybe the
cups would be Romeo and Juliet. Swords would be
Macbeth.
Uh-huh.
But it's not like that. I'm like, oh, but I thought that would have been a good idea.
That would have been a good idea.
And each card would have been a different scene in that play.
Like the mythological tarot.
Right.
Follows a specific story.
Yeah, but this doesn't.
Oh, well.
That's kind of lame.
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 I ain't going to buy that shit.
And how about Alice? Well,
we got a book from Kabook One.
Kabook.
I love it. I haven't actually read it, I have to admit. But she says, hey, Lucky and Carmen, my name is Kristen. I just found your podcast a few months ago. I've been a witch since I was 14. I'm 26 now. I guess I'm more eclectic. I don't follow any mainstream flavor of paganism. I'm thoroughly hooked on you two. You are so funny and so cool. It's great to hear a pagan podcast that's not all white light guitar strumming and serious discussions.
Stupid.
You guys are smart, too.
Oh,
you actually know your shit, and that is so rare these days. Is it really?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Lastly, you may have foul mouths and talk all kinds of smack,
but
I can tell that you're genuinely good people. That is also very rare.
Oh, you know, thank you. She's very perceptive.
Yeah, we do have foul mouths.
And I'm keeping it clean.
We are trying. We're trying. We are trying to make this a family show. I feel like every time I listen to this show, I'm meeting up with dear friends. Thank you. She wants more badass pagan theater.
Okay.
We promise we're going to do some of that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Summertime's coming. And so she goes on and on. Let's see. Oh, she talks about, they talked about this on Dio's Shadow, about Kirk Cameron infiltrating a druid ritual. And, you know, he's became like this new Christian, born-again Christian
guy. So tell the folks out there.
What?
This guy's a born-again moron.
Oh, well, I don't want to cover it again. You can listen to Dio's Shadow's podcast about it. And let's see what else. If you ever do anything where you want to meet up with your listeners, I will definitely be there. Hooker love!
All right.
Well, we really want to do that. I guess we'd have to do it in New York City, so we'll plan something. We'll put it on the eatmypaganass.livejournal.com. You can also check out a lot of these comments that people send to us yourselves, and you can respond to them. That would be the coolest thing if you all start talking to each other. BearCub48, I like his icon. Hey, Lucky and Carmen, I love your show. Seriously, it's crazy. This episode was another... I don't know which one he's talking about. Oh, last one, 15. This episode was another platinum hit, but I wanted to add that the devil is constantly associated with birds, clawed feet, beaks, feathers, etc., who are, in many traditions, powerful spirits representing the ancestors and spirits in general. I know for sure that the pilgrims saw birds as spirits. That's true. Like
that's very interesting.
In the Crucible, they describe these birds flying above the witches.
Native Americans.
Just wanted to show you some LJ love.
We learn stuff from people as well.
That's true, yeah. That's what makes this fun, is that when you guys all
because the devil card is powerful, but then again, the power comes from how much power you give it. But it is a very powerful card, because fear is a powerful force.
I think, you know, like in the Kabbalah, where you have to walk, you know, people walk certain paths, and on the paths that connect the different spheres.
Right.
And that is like a life journey, or like however long it takes you to get into that path and understand what that path means. I think like the major arcana of the tarot are like that as well. You could spend a great deal of time and energy, and very worthwhilely so, walking, you know, each path of the major arcana. So, you know, you do a sun journey.
That's what the Kabbalah is.
You do a moon journey. You do a...
Yeah.
A devil journey.
Right.
And I think everyone does. I think I'm kind of in a devil journey right now because of, like, how frequently this keeps coming up. For instance, at the Ostara ritual that I led with my Game Ends group, we had this guy randomly show up who... I said, okay, so what's the new thing that you want to manifest? And he starts going on about the Antichrist and how he believes the Antichrist is, you know, the supreme deity and, you know, blah, 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 and going on and on. It got really weird from that point forward, needless to say.
This was during a ritual?
Yes. And So I just interpreted that.
Stop this guy.
I did stop him.
Yeah.
Did. So.
Because then it's not that you want to censor anybody. I don't mean it that way. I mean it because then you start bringing in all this weird shit into your rituals.
Well, it just wasn't appropriate for
that's,
one thing.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, what are you talking about? For,
it was an Ostara and Thor ritual. And there you go. And, you know, okay, you don't need to bring up all these other not and aside from that
and even, right if it's a Nordic ritual right. What are you bringing in as Christian references like
yeah,
what are you
yeah,
doing
yeah, yeah. It know? Was it was all kinds of fucked up and so was he basically.
Guys are nut yep. People that start going off into these kind of tangents are usually nutty anyway.
Well this is you a know? Good this is a good point of conversation. I think that's it for listener emails. We have a few more but
oh look I dug this out.
I guess we're done with that.
See, this is the tree of life.
Yeah.
And these are the paths.
Yeah, that's
and you go from one major arcana card to the next. This is hermetic Kabbalah.
Oh, right. The major arcana actually are linked to the tree of life.
Right. See?
Aleister Crowley does that. I'm sure a lot of other people
he
do,
He was
too.
One of them. Yeah. He. This is all...
I guess
see,
Golden
and
Dawn,
and
right?
This is a picture of...
I love that picture, the full color, where the orbs are all colored and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
nice.
These are the colors associated with each Sephira, or Sephira, it depends on how you pronounce it. And see how you have little cards?
Oh, there
see?
You go.
So
the Fool connects the crown to wisdom.
And the longest journey is the High Priestess. She goes, and that's why, see, okay, a little, like her... magical word is Gemel, which means camel in Hebrew.
Oh, right.
And that's why she's a camel, because she's able to go through this journey. So oh. Metaphysically, you know, so it's all these references and symbolism. It's really interesting stuff, you know? So nobody, we're like somewhere around here. Nobody goes beyond the sixth sphere. That's like Jesus and Buddha and all these enlightened ones.
Yeah.
That's Tipperet, mm-hmm. beauty. And then you start to go higher and higher where you get more and more spiritual. And then the top of the Tree of Life, which is not depicted here, is...
the Ein Sof.
Ein Sof 4.
Yeah.
The Unknowable.
Yeah.
So it's really good stuff. Then I have this other book. I see how it's sticking out of the bookshelf?
Oh, yeah.
To remind me, read me!
Good for
still
you.
Haven't read it.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I'm always reading all this
spiritual
other bullshit.
Spiritual study of the tarot.
Yeah. Tarot! I hate that. I'm gonna kill you. Carrot. The tarot, carrot.
So we were going to talk about, since we got onto that subject, of what do you do when you're at a pagan gathering or you're leading a pagan gathering? This is kind of advanced stuff. I don't know how many of you
if I was leading a pagan gathering, I don't care if I was having a meeting in the office. Somebody comes in and disrupts it, I'll tell them very nicely to stop. This is not the place. We'll talk about that later.
Right.
And
right.
then move on. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't want to, I'll call security. No, really, eject them.
Yeah.
This person is messing up my ritual or my meeting or my party or my in any event,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
People yeah. shouldn't be allowed to disrupt shit because they have issues.
Right.
You know, if you want to talk about it, let's talk about it in the right and proper way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And
that's
if
true.
And the thing about ritual is you're invoking entities and spirits, and this space is open. Anything can come in. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, like when we were talking about psychic attack the other day,
mm-hmm.
most psychic attack don't happen because I sent one to you. It's because you opened yourself up for it.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, well, I'm reading Psychic Self-Defense by Dionne Fortune right
mm-hmm.
now. And, She has a very excellent introduction. If you read nothing else, just read her introduction, which, you know, really sets you straight in terms of, you know, what constitutes psychic attack and what are the more mundane possibilities.
What does she say?
Well, a lot of it is informed from psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is, well, first and foremost, someone who's like doing a psychic attack on you, okay, let's say someone really is doing a psychic attack, let's say, okay, worst right. case scenario, someone right. is literally like investing all this time really and energy good. And really wants to take control of you and manipulate you and all this shit.
Turn you into a zombie.
Right, and usually this happens in like relationships, you know?
Definitely. 99.9, yeah.
Where one person really wants to dominate the other, and it just happens. It could be mm-hmm. intentional, it could be accidental, whatever the case. Ultimately, though, the real trigger is inside yourself. You can't be psychically attacked or victimized if you are in control of your own emotions. And if you realize that somebody is jerking you around, shut them off.
Mm-hmm.
And she says quite plainly, it's very difficult to perform psychic attack on someone who just won't pay attention to you.
Right.
you right. know?
And if you do your own spiritual cleansings.
Banishing rituals are very yeah, important. Yeah,
you know, you have to take care of yourself. If you believe someone is doing something to you, which could be.
Then do
know,
something about it.
Then do something about it.
Yep.
You know.
And they're so simple. Banishing rites are so simple to do.
Take a salt bath.
Salt bath.
Simple.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Salt bath. What's another good one?
Egg.
I mean, they have all this
weird... What do you mean, egg?
Supposedly, if you put a hard-boiled egg in the bath water, because the egg absorbs all the negativity.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
But I like the salt bath. Just get a tablespoon of sea salt, because actually you're supposed to take a bath in the ocean.
Right.
But we can't find the ocean, or the ocean is polluted and you don't want to go in there, so you bring the ocean to you. You get a handful of sea salt, put yeah. in the water, mix yeah. it up, and salt yourself.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I also like to do, I'm fond of like just, I'll just close my eyes. Like today I was standing on the subway platform.
Especially on the subway platform. Yeah. You better do it.
And I was listening to our last podcast, and it was that that song that I played.
Oh yeah, great music.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Abyss from Electric Sky Church. And I just let myself go into that energy space again.
Yeah.
Where I'm a column of light, mm-hmm. and everything is just... copacetic.
Yeah.
I just let myself be that way for a little while. Yeah. And that pretty much takes care of everything, you know?
It's good to let yourself go like that. I did something similar the other day. I was getting my car washed.
Oh, and I bet you were.
And I was in, and there, all the stuff is, all the suds and everything, and I kind of did the same thing, and I just kind of let myself go.
There you go.
It was so cool. Then the next thing I know, the guy's banging on the windshield. Move the car! I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, okay.
That's so like television moment, you know, like if we can see inside your brain right then. That'd be like Ally McBeal.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
You're like the Ally McBeal.
I have a lot of those moments.
I also do rune banishings, which are really simple, where you just cast a circle of runes around yourself. You go around 3 times, 8 runes per circle. And you just project them outwards, big glaring red runes, or depending on if you're doing specific work, you know, you could change the color, but red is typically the most energetic for the runes,
because
mm-hmm. It's most like blood,
yeah.
which is how we used to stain the runes and charge them. So that works too.
Right.
And then you're done with that. You're like, or of course the lower banishing ritual of the pentagram, which is something
oh, yeah.
else we talked about, which right. was the Ate Malkuth. That whole thing.
Yeah, I have see that book, The Modern Magic.
Modern Magic by Donald Michael Craig. That's yeah. my first pagan book.
I had such a crush on
me
him.
Me too.
Really?
I did.
I met him. I knew him. Oh, it wasn't a crush. I was in love. And it was his mind. He was so smart and he was so funny and he just knew about everything. And I was like,
Really?
You know, yeah.
I bet he did.
He was a really cool guy. Yeah. But anyway, he has a banishing ritual.
You
in
must
there.
Love him. You have 2 editions of his book.
One of them is autographed.
Modern Magic.
Yeah, my man Michael.
I made the robe. You know.
Did
like,
you really?
Yeah, the whole I was just so into that book.
Yeah, that's a good book.
I love his exercises on banishing demons, mm-hmm. internal demons and like
him and what's that other guy's name? His name. He's married. Him and his wife. The 3 of them. What a team. Well, they don't work together. But they do fabulous rituals. Mm. But everything is so highfalutin. You know?
Well, yeah. There's definitely that to his style. It's very, like, yeah. Los Angeles. Like,
yeah, it's
Necronomicon movie. Draw the pentagram on the floor and gilt gold.
You know? I can't afford this religion.
You don't have to, but it's just, it's a fantasy.
And I try to do the banishing rituals, and I try to, you know, project the voice and all this stuff, but... It was too heavy for me.
No, but see that...
This is something that I would have to work with someone else. This is definitely not something that I would do alone.
I did.
I need to work with other people.
He gives the names of God and the four directions. Yes. I used to do that. That was the first magic I did.
It's like a textbook.
The first ritual I ever did was in that book. That's pretty cool. And I have to say...
This was my introduction to magic.
It got me off to a good start.
Yeah, this is my introduction. You know, I said... Whoa, this is cool stuff. Yeah. You know?
Donald Michael Craig, everybody.
Yes, Modern Magic.
Modern Magic.
Yeah.
Available at bookstores now. You can buy it from Carmen and Lucky for $30. It's out of print. And we'll sell it to you for $40 a copy.
I have two copies. I'll sell you one.
Yeah.
Actually, I had one that I got from him. And the other one, my friend knew... that I had this huge crush. He said, I got something for you. I was like, oh, wow, this is great. Thank you, thank you.
So
I've moved on. Now I have a crush on Goyle.
Goyle from the fashion show? Goyle. The crab and Goyle from Harry Potter?
I just thought of it. It's girl, Goyle.
Goyle.
Like from the Brooklyn.
He's cute. He's little Fasian.
Gaysian? I think he's from Thailand.
He's cute.
He's kind of cute.
I like his hair. He has the faux hawk going on.
Faux hawk,
kind of
cute.
The goddess must be into faux hawks right now.
Right? Oh my god.
She's making all of her boys wear them. Oh, but I just want to go back for a second to what you do when like something unexpected happens in your circle. It's absolutely okay to like. Stop the show.
Stop the thing. And
because ultimately that person's going to be, so, as I learned, going to be much more disruptive in the long run.
Nip it at the bud.
Yeah. You know, those people just tend to just want attention. And I knew that right away. But even that I could deal with. Because, you know, you've dealt with that before. But then...
But not doing it, Richard. That's so disrespectful.
But here's the bullshit. And on top of, like, calling in all those other deities...
So what was he doing?
The very first thing was like I said, what's the new thing? We went around the circle. I said, this is an Ostara ritual. This is what it means. It's a new day, dawn, spring. You can manifest new things. Blah blah blah. You know, pretty. There are flowers everywhere. It was just looked so pretty and elegant. I was wearing a white shirt. It was like very very lovely, springy. And I thought I set the mood pretty clearly for everybody. And then we went around the room. It was a new moon, also, and a lunar eclipse, and it was the spring equinox, you know, everything all at once. It was pretty intense, which is also kind of why I think this guy showed up, because it was an eclipse. And equinox is equal parts light and dark, and we didn't do, like, a proper honor of the darkness in this ritual. It was solely focused on the light newness. And I didn't plan to incorporate darkness, so I think that's why he as a person, manifested in the circle. That was my personal lesson, anyway, for me.
Over. Well, people that come into your life that are a manifestation of stuff in you.
Right.
So being that you were missing that part, that person showed up.
Well, I think from now on, though, it's always important to give some kind of token of
acknowledgement.
Honor, acknowledgement to, you know, like in a lot of heathen rituals, you do this thing where you give an offering to the Utangard.
Oots, I did it again.
The outsiders, you know.
Outsiders.
Yeah, the people who are not actually welcome into the ritual or the sacred space, but you still want to
acknowledge them.
Yeah, so you throw them like a bone that they could chew on outside the circle.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, you know, it works for me.
I'm for that.
It's all fair and balanced.
Yeah. You know? You might not agree with me, but I like being nice to people that are not nice to me. I mean, I'm not going to open my home to them.
No, but I think it's important.
Yeah.
Because you always, there's still like, and I think we did a lot to give this person the benefit of the doubt by letting him stay and showing him, like, not making him feel estranged.
Right. I wouldn't throw him out on his ass, but I would tell him to chill out and respect my space.
Yeah. Well, you know? What I did first was, like, I tried to draw him back into the, I said, oh, okay, after he was going on and on about his gods and who he believes, which really irritates me. And this is an important point that I want to bring out. When you go to a ritual and you're not direct, you're a guest, honor what the person who's facilitating it is, has set up, and the work that they've put into it. If they're calling a specific deity or deities, respect that. Those deities are going to be there. And listen, if you haven't figured this out already, not all deities get along with each other, and not all devotees of certain deities appreciate that either.
That mixing.
It causes trouble in the currents.
In Santeria, that's very important.
Oh, yes, it is.
You can't put certain statues of certain deities on the same altar.
They get jealous.
Yeah, they get
like
crazy.
Like Erzuli, she hates someone, doesn't she?
Oh, Shun or somebody.
Something,
yeah.
Because they have like squabbles of their own.
And, yeah. They have their own myths.
Right.
And you have to understand the myths, you know.
Yep. So, if you don't, you don't have to study everything. I'm just saying, like, when you go to a ritual that isn't your own doing, just don't drag in other gods or deities. Some people may be fine with that.
But there are certain ethics. Well, you know, actually, if I went to your house, like, you invite me to your mother's house. I'm a guest, you know, chill out. What are you going to somebody's house and acting all stupid? And it's the same thing in a ritual. You have to respect other people's spaces.
You do.
If you're a guest.
I'm guilty of it, too. Like, it's a learning curve. It is. You know, granted, it was never that bad. But this is for everyone's education out there. I'm just, like, putting it out there that when you're going to a ritual, just
respect it.
Attune into the energies that are being presented to you, and just go with it. Because if you're resisting it, then you're closed.
Well, he had a different agenda.
He did have a different agenda.
People like that won't heed this advice.
No,
he
I
didn't
That's
go
why
there
I said
to
not
be
even
polite.
Worth
he
to
went
him.
There to bust balls. Yep. That's why he went there.
That's what I think too.
And then this is why I say, nip it at the bud.
Yeah.
You have to explain anything to him. You just tell him in a nice way, we'll talk about this later, you know, whatever. And if need be, eject them. I have no qualms about that.
Me either.
I like to be nice, but don't fuck with me.
Yep.
You know?
Well, that's the whole point. Don't
later
fuck with
him.
Us. Later for them.
Later
so
for
he's
him.
Banished. He's down the toilet, thank God.
Who brought him along?
It was just, it's an open circle.
Ritual.
It's an open thing.
Yeah. That used to happen at this other place, this coven that I used to go to at ritual. And there was this one crazy woman. She always had something weird going on. One time she shows up with a pet rat or something, and she has it on her shoulder. And she was just weird. And she was always there. And she wasn't there for the celebration. She was just there to, like, act stupid. That's all.
Yeah. You can, it doesn't take a highly developed sense of psychic power to smell bullshit.
Really? Come on. And I would ignore this woman like the plague. She'd come over and try to, like, do this shock shit on me.
Right.
I would just kind of look at her like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give it a satisfaction.
Don't give your energy to
them.
No. That. That's all they want.
I wouldn't give it a satisfaction.
That's all they want. I've learned a long time ago that
it's sad. You know, you should feel sorry for these people, but I don't have time. I'd rather feel sorry for somebody who really needs it.
There you go.
You know?
You could say, this is a great conversation, but I need to go pray for the hungry now.
What, you hungry?
And what is she going to say? I'm not hungry.
No, I wouldn't even tell her that. I would just ignore these people, because any attention, whether it be negative attention or positive attention, is attention.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or like,
true.
Hysterical people, you know. Why is everybody gathered around this person? Let one person handle it, and that's it. Don't you have 50 people trying to calm this hysterical person down. Fuck them, you know?
You know what I'm thinking about?
What?
When we were at Ashokan, remember when one person passed out? Were you there?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
And everybody was like,
did you notice where I was?
No.
I was in the back because I'm not going to give it attention.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's not that I don't care. It's like,
I don't care. I don't remember the exact. I don't remember what really happened. I don't actually remember.
She fainted. That's
it was like
all.
A genuine thing, right?
It was real.
Okay, well that's okay then.
But at the same time,
when it's fake.
But at the same time, I didn't go over there to add to the chaos.
Well, think what would happen. I passed a car crash on the way home. Somebody was out taking care of it. You know,
fine.
If every car stops and gets out and helps, what is that? That causes more problems.
And they're not helping. They're looking.
Yeah, they're just exactly.
Nobody helps. They just look.
Exactly.
But I like to rubberneck. I have to admit.
I see that. Good,
I love that expression.
You have a Goodyear tattoo on your neck over there. You rubbernecker.
I'm feeling like that.
Yeah. She's like, she's checking her. Where's my tattoo?
Yeah, I like that expression.
Rubberneck.
You know what other expression I love?
What?
Tourist trap. I think that's such a whoever coined that phrase.
Yeah.
Tourist trap. Yeah. Tourist traps. Clip joint.
Oh, the 1950s were good.
No, I read.
Can we take a break real quick?
Oh, because I want to talk.
No, go ahead, talk. What do you got? What do you got?
I'm just fucking with
you. What'd you read?
Nothing.
Tell me.
Catcher in the Rye. We'll talk about it later.
Catcher in the Rye. No, we'll forget.
No, all right, very quickly.
Yeah.
The expressions that they use in Catcher in the Rye are expressions that we use today. And that book was written when, 1946 or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so.
I wasn't an English major. I don't know.
Obviously.
I read
it. Yeah, but it's an old book, and they're, a lot of the expressions that they use are expressions that we use today.
Cool.
That's my favorite.
Here's my yeah.
That's been around forever.
Here's my favorite quote now. Winston Churchill said, "When you're going through hell, keep going."
That's right.
That's awesome, right?
Keep going. You'll get the fuck out sooner or later.
Yeah.
Another one of his my favorite sayings of his is, "Never, never, never, never give up."
Well, this is very interesting because we're on episode number 17, and the tarot card for 17 is the Star.
Oh, the Star! A star is born. Right. Optimism and joy and everything is going to, you know.
And wouldn't you say that Winston Churchill may have perceived a star in that dark, dark night? And that he was a...
Was he one of the three wise men?
A beacon of hope
One of the three wise guys.
The free world.
Him... Eisenhower and MacArthur, the three wise guys.
Oh.
They saw a star.
Yes. I get it. Very funny.
Uh-huh.
So before we get into the star, I need to get something to drink because I'm like parched.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back. Here, we'll play a little song for everybody. I hope you like it. I don't know what song we're going to play, but they liked that last time when we did a song.
We should do song.
Here's a song, everybody.
We should do more music.
Enjoy it. Psych!
Just kidding, folks.
We weren't really going to play that song for you. That was Carmina Burana. Anyway, it is a good song, but we won't play it right now because it's too long. So, the star of hope, the star of light.
The star.
Tell us
about
the star.
Anytime you see the star, it's a good omen. Things look bright. Things look good.
Things are looking up, right?
Things are looking up. Renewed health, if it's a health question.
Yeah.
You know.
Good.
It's a good card.
Tell us about it, Carmen.
The naked lady.
She's got big boobies.
Big boobies. They're firm.
They are. They're supple.
She's not wearing any clothes, so she's free and open. Nothing is hidden. It's all out in the open.
She lost it all in the tower. She lost everything.
Yeah, she lost every fucking thing, you know? And the stars... And the way the stars are arranged.
Yeah.
See how they're arranged?
Seven stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Pleiades. Eight stars total.
That's another Kabbalistic reference. And these waters, see that there's a jug?
Yeah.
The water's coming out.
She sure has jugs.
Five streams. Well, yeah, with booby fixation. Five streams of water. Those are the five streams. Supposedly, I never heard of it, but the five rivers in the Garden of Eden.
Oh, okay.
You know, this mountain here is supposed to be Netzach, another Kabbalistic reference.
Uh-huh.
What else? A little bird. What is that little bird?
Bird of Paradise.
But everything, see, that's what I like about the Right Away, is everything means something. She's got one foot in the water, which is spiritual. She's got her knee on land, so she's got a balance of spiritual and material.
Oh. Cool. Mm-hmm. Why is she pouring water into the water? And then she has
blonde hair. Blonde hair means she has a spiritual way of thinking. Black hair means... physical, blonde hair means spiritual in this deck.
Interesting.
So blonde. I mean, there's a lot more. I mean, a lot more. Yeah. But off the top of my head, that's what I can remember.
All right.
Even the ripples. Don't ask me what the ripples mean, but even the ripples mean something. How many are there? One, two, three, four. So if it's four ripples, it could be the four levels, fire, earth, air, and water.
Huh. No. Well, so
but this is a very good card to get.
So,
to star.
Yeah, so when you get this, this means
things look good. Now, sometimes, let's say, for example, you get you're doing a reading, and the first card is the Star, and it's covered by the Ten of Swords.
Ooh, yes.
So it could be. What are you so fucking happy about? Everything's a mess and you're not seeing things clearly. So it's not always a great card because you could be deluding yourself. This is not a card of delusion. I'm not saying that. But you always have to see what other cards are around the card that you're looking at to see how it's influenced. Mm-hmm. Always remember that. Mm-hmm. How is another influence? How is another card influencing the card you're reading? No.
Cool.
So, like that thing that I just said, where the person has the Star and the Ten of Swords covering it. So, what do you care that life is shit? This guy thinks it's great. Let him think so.
How is the Star different from the Sun in terms of positiveness?
Because the Sun is more out there and it has more vitality. It has to do with health. This has to do more on an ethereal level. The Sun is more good health, reasoning, everything is out in the open. You know, you see stars at night. Things are a little twilighty, but the Sun is more in your face. It's more real. Like if I were to compare the two as far as outlook goes, the Sun, yes, things are bright. Things are real because it's out in the sun. When you see something out in the sunshine, you see everything. You know, if somebody's wearing a polyester suit, you're going to see that suit is polyester. Whereas in starlight, you don't really see it, you know.
So how do you
And this card, the magical attribute to it is meditation.
Oh.
This is the card. This is a card of meditation.
How do you go from?
I'm sorry. What?
From the devil to the tower to the star. Like what happens?
Different stages of life. Different stages of, and then you go into the sun.
So
you
got to
go. Remember when we're talking about the dark, and then you see the light.
Yes.
This is you go from the dark when you're in the devil. If you look at the card, it's completely black. There's no light. There's no window. Oh, my God, how am I ever going to get out of here? But then the tower opens everything up for you, and then the star. The star, the tower is shit happens. That's a good expression for the tower. Mm-hmm. And now in the star, you're out of that. And if you see, this is kind of a muted card. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's not the sun yet, you know.
It to me, since the things that you're saying, this would say to me, the power of meditation to help you kind of rise above the circumstances and help you get another perspective.
And then the letter, the Hebrew letter for the star is Zadi.
Zadi.
Zadi, and in Hebrew it means fish hook. So you say, well, fish hook, what the hell is that? Well, when you're meditating, it's like a fish hook. You know, you're looking for thoughts, and then you to put the thoughts into.
Oh, how interesting. That's funny. No, yoga, the word yoga means kind of like...
Like a yoke?
Yoke. Uh-huh. Yoking yourself up to a higher thing.
Right.
I wonder if tzadi and yoga have a connection. Yeah. Especially again with the meditation reference.
Because it's meditation and you when you meditate, you're not thinking of anything. You're fishing. What you're doing, you put yourself into meditative state and you wait for something, you wait for a thought or a smell or an image to come to you, right? So that's what it is.
Those are my feet you're smelling.
Oh, I thought so. Yeah. I thought it was fish. Because I drop my hook and get a bite. The reason I'm fishing for a new religion is my church makes me fall asleep. They're praising the God that watches you weep and doesn't want you to do a damn thing about it. When they want change, a preacher says shout it. The shout bring about change, I doubt it. All shout does is make you lose your voice. So that's interesting. Yeah, the star is one of those cards that I never like get. You don't
automatically get a like sense of what it means unless you like really think about it and meditate on it, I guess.
Because you gotta meditate on it. A lot of people think that the high priestess is meditation, but it's not.
She's a wicked sorceress.
Sorceress.
She's a sorceress. Look at my pomegranate juice, baby.
Yeah, the star.
Very cool.
Meditate on the star, folks.
All right.
When you wish upon a star. It's a good card. Fishing for religion.
When you wish upon a star.
Makes no difference who you are. Oh, God.
That's right.
She's going to send us emails.
She's here all night, ladies and gentlemen. Come and kick ass here at the cabaret. The pagan cabaret. Sit yourself down and have a whiskey.
Show you her tits.
Well, the 17th rune, since we sometimes talk about runes, sometimes don't, is Tewaz. Tewaz. And, you know, I think at some point I'll do more of a thing on runes right now, but just for now.
Not too many people know about runes.
No, you
know,
everybody just
knows about
ground.
Tarot, yeah, and astrology, yeah. But runes is something people would be interested in.
Yeah,
hearing a little bit about.
I agree.
A little bit, I said.
A little bit, bitch. But basically, Tewaz is the god rune, whereas the rune that follows it is the Perkana, which is the goddess rune. Tewaz is associated with the god Tyr, who's a sky god. Who's also become known as a god of oaths and honesty and justice as well. He's a star god! Oh! How could I have missed that? How fascinating. He is a star god, and I think like his star was the pole star. I could be wrong about that, but that is incredible. That blew my mind just now.
Wow.
Bitch. I'm going to have to think a lot more about that. But anyway, he's the god that you invoke. You can invoke him in battle because he's kind of a warrior, manly man. He's like carved into the hilts of swords. Recently, I was involved in a court case, so I did a spell where on my left foot, I did like kind of a curse on the opposite side because I know the guy was a sleazebag and I knew he was going to do whatever he could to lie. So I did some work with Odin on that because Odin he's a finesser of words, and I wanted that other side to lose the ability to finesse the truth,
right?
Or to finesse words in such a way to conceal the truth.
Oh, one thing. Let me just interrupt.
What?
That I just want listeners to know that is not the same as a psychic attack.
No.
All right, because we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
That's not a psychic attack.
No. This is just me using my
talents.
My talents.
Yeah.
Everyone in that courtroom has talents.
Right.
I'm doing what I can. It's a form of prayer, actually, right, more than anything. And then on my right foot, I had the invocations of Tewaz, of Tyr, the god of justice, and that ultimately I said, no matter what happens, I want justice to be served here. So the runes on my left foot were more so that it would bind their tongues if they tried to lie. in a court of law under mm-hmm. oath. That was what that rune, what that spell was for. The one on my right foot was just basically like, give me confidence as I'm on the stand testifying, let me speak truly and clearly, that sort of thing. And also a request, may I have victory in this court battle? Mm. I didn't. I lost.
Oh, well.
That's the way that cookie crumbles, and there were other lessons associated with that trial that transcend the whole court case itself. So, Tewaz, the star Tewaz. God. That's fucking awesome. Can't believe I didn't even
A lot of times, different systems kind of dovetail. Sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do.
Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. Okay, well, we better wrap this one up here.
Oh.
Well, we'll be back, boys and girls. There'll be an episode number 18, I promise.
Yeah, baby.
You. Yeah, baby. Let's pull a rune. Let's use the Alice in Wonderland deck. May I?
Yeah.
Not a rune, a tarot card.
Don't you want to do a rune?
I don't have my runes with me.
Don't I have mine? Mine is somewhere.
It's okay.
My Alice deck.
Alice in Wonderland. I was in a performance of that, and I played the White Rabbit.
Really?
And you know the White Rabbit is a symbol frequently represented in like. Celtic.
Sexual, I know.
Celtic. Well, yes, but also that they go down holes and therefore are.
That's what I said. So
that they are associated with taking you to other worlds. Mm-hmm. And so there's some Celtic lore, animal lore about animals. And there are other, like harts, HARTS, and some other creatures that are known. Snakes as well. I don't know.
Snakes. Yeah, so it's like you were the rabbit and you had a heart on.
And I saw
Trum-pum.
The snake.
Had a heart on.
And I brought the snake out. I gotcha. All right. We're going to do tarot card for the day for all you boys and girls out there listening.
Okay.
Here's what you need to meditate. The star!
Oh, my God! Oh!
How cool is that?
I can't stand it.
We just pulled the star card.
Wow.
That's awesome. Oh, the gods are with us.
So, what the hell
is
that?
This is one of the creatures at the very beginning of the story of Alice in Wonderland. I forget what it's called, though. What? There's like this turtle creature, and then this other. This it looks like a griffin, kind of, with the lion's tail, the claws, the wings, the beak.
I'll be darned.
Look at that.
So the star. Things look good, folks. So if anything has been aching you, bothering you, or giving you general grief, be aware that it's going to pass and things look bright for you.
Let me read what they say in this book. The griffin sleeps contentedly beside the waters of life. Behind him are the mountains. 7 stars, 1 large and 6 smaller, are above him. The stars are of wishes and dreams, the most important gifts of the heavens. As sleep eventually brings waking, so is all of life a series of deaths and rebirths. Through this is the divination of the future and a clearing out of the past. Hope, faith, and inspiration are the divinatory meanings of this card. The optimism of wishes, a bright future, learning from experience, fulfillment, satisfaction, and pleasure.
I'll drink to that.
Hail!
See, this has to do with, remember when you asked me about the sun?
Uh-huh.
This is the prelude to the sun. See, you're not there yet, in other words.
Right.
So this is the
I'm just fucking blown away that we pulled the damn star card.
That's funny. I tell you,
this witchy stuff sure has something to it.
So people, think positive. Things are looking up.
There you go. That's the message for everyone. Have hope.
Have hope.
Have faith. And no matter what, don't abandon your dreams.
Never. Never, ever, ever, never give up.
We love you, everybody.
Bye.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do. steps in and sees you through.